Chapter 5. God Used Job to Ambush Satan. Job had expected to live a life of ease and luxury. After all, he had reverence for God. So the trials that lay ahead surprised Job. You may find, like Job, that people may criticize and judge you during your times of agony. But Job's suffering shaped his character and allowed him to see the God which he had previously only heard about face to face. That face-to-face encounter, and Job's response to it, defeated the satanic influences in his life that had brought on his suffering. My wife and I saw a fictional secular story which featured a grandfather who had suffered, and his grandson who was living a self-indulgent plastic lifestyle. The grandfather was determined, before he died, to teach the young man about real life and turn him from self-centeredness. The result was that unless that young man had experienced fear and certain degrees of suffering, that he was not really alive yet. He had not yet experienced life. With us, experiencing real life is meeting Jesus face to face. That did not happen to my wife and me until we had experienced fear and loss. Her experience happened when she was a child. Mine was later on in life. Job was one of the first overcomers in recorded scripture. If Job only knew the whole picture while he suffered, but we can. My opinion is that God included the book of Job as a primitive example of overcoming for us. I believe that the subject of overcoming satanic forces is an extremely important issue that God wants us to be aware of. There have been too many partial and inaccurate commentaries about Job. While there have been many wonderful commentaries of the ones that I have seen, I believe that they still missed the major point, that is, overcoming satanic forces. In my book, Job's Journey, I cover many important issues in detail that I will not expand on here. Job had no idea that Satan was behind his sufferings. He had no idea that his sufferings would put an overcoming defeat over the satanic enemies in his life. In my book, Job's Journey, I point out that God did not give permission to Satan to attack Job. Rather, he informed Satan that Job was already in his, Satan's, hand. This is confirmed in both attacks against Job by Satan in chapters 1 and 2. Job 1:7 through 12 says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand, and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Job 2:4-6 says, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" I believe that this scripture and the entire Bible points to the fact that God said to Satan, "Look, observe, behold, he is already in your hand." The Lord showed this to me when I was struggling to understand and write something about Job. I felt like the Lord had called me to write a booklet, but I could not because there was a missing piece. When I heard the Lord show this to me, then I wrote Job's Journey. It was indeed legal for Satan to attack Job, because Job was still functioning in the first Adam. In other words, he was operating in his flesh nature. As I point out in my book about Job, he was probably the most sanctified flesh man in Scripture at that time. God chose him to make a point with us that even the best we can offer from our old nature stinks. Job had a reverence for God. He helped the poor and did many other godly things. He succeeded in business and in his other endeavors. But those were all of his own doing, his self-sufficient flesh nature. It also appears that he felt somewhat self-righteous. It is also quite likely that Job had some generational curse that Satan had a hold of to torment Job. Job had many experiences in the months following his horrible losses and his sicknesses that Satan put on him. Some of those experiences indicated that his faith in God was still there. At other times, Job showed his doubt, discouragement, self-pity, and self-righteousness. He even wished at one point that he had never been born. Have you ever felt that way? His friends were legalistic and performance-oriented in their religion, telling him that his suffering was due to the secret sin in his life, Job chapters 4 through 31. While it is true that a sinful life can lead to suffering, that is not always the case, especially with godly people, and in any case, it is not the way to try to help someone. Elihu speaks. First, Elihu, a godly friend, spoke good things to Job in chapters 32 through 37. Elihu was angry with Job because Job justified himself rather than God. He was angry with the other three friends because their answers were not accurate but condemning. Job 32, 1 through 3. Job 32, 1 through 3 says, "So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Finally, after everybody had their turns to speak, God spoke to Job. God spoke to Job as recorded in chapters 38 through 41. Hearing God speak is like no other experience in life. I cannot explain it, but it can be life-changing if you take it seriously and act upon it. Job received a revelation of the love of God as his Redeemer, a revelation of the cross of Jesus. He must have known about God being a Redeemer already, but notice in chapter 33, Job talks about his ransom. Job 19:25 says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Job 33:24 says, "Then he is gracious to him, and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." Look at what happened. Job 42:1-6, Amplified Bible says, "Then Job said to the Lord, I know that you can do all things, and that no thought or purpose of yours can be restrained or thwarted. You said to me, who is this that darkens and obscures counsel by words without knowledge? Therefore I now see I have rashly uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I had virtually said to you what you have said to me. Here I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you. Therefore I loathe my words, and abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." When Job said, "My eye sees you," I believe Job received supernatural revelation knowledge. I do not think it means that his physical eye saw God's physical being. I believe that when Job saw God, that he saw many things. He saw God's overwhelming sovereignty. When he saw God, I believe he also saw God as merciful and gracious, forgiving, the blood covenant God who swapped places with him. When we really see God through revelation knowledge, we react as undone, as did Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. The first thing Isaiah did, Job did, and I personally did, was to repent. I told the Lord on August 26, 1979, I have made a mess of my life. Please take over. That is when the Holy Spirit flooded me, and I have never been the same. Look at what God says that backsliders like his Israel will say. Hosea 14:7 through 8 says, "Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, 'What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me.'" When Job finally confessed his sin and repented, that is all God needed to make the satanic attack against Job illegal. The tables were turned. Job 42:7 through 17, KJV says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job.'" So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Corinopuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Notice in verse 10 above that the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Satan received the penalty, and Job received the blessing. Evil was destroyed in the life of Job. Remember, Job had no idea what was going on. He did not know that Satan was the source and cause of his suffering. As you find yourself in the midst of trials and suffering, I pray that Jesus, through his Word and the Holy Spirit, will increase your hope and give you the perseverance to overcome now that you know the potential value in it. The Lord God will refine you in the fire. He will cleanse the dross of your old flesh life so that Jesus can be glorified in you. His character within you will become your manifested character. If you persevere, God will also turn your captivity and destroy the activity of the evil that has caused your trials. You, like Job, will also see others set free.